Ayol, el regalo de Comenzado Sacharón. The keynote goes through describes in detail, beginning all the 24 Mishmaros HaKohanim that were set up to serve twice a year. And each Mishmar had their week that the family would serve from the Mikdash. And the keynote goes through naming all the different Mishmaros, not by the same names that they're known for, that were given in Divrei Hayamim, that were given when in the original Mikdash, either because the names changed or because of the places perhaps that they lived, or perhaps the keynote is going through and describing some of the Chatayim and some of the unfortunate character traits that the Mishmaros took upon themselves. And it's more of a gnos to the Kohanim in this case than it is a praise. And it keeps on going over and over again, describing again some many of the things that they did wrong, and many of the things that we've lost, and the rebellious that they eventually went through, and the punishments they eventually had to endure because of their wayward. As mentioned, 4 months ago, we were sitting here, this Chodesh Nisan, and we were sitting in a place where was the end of whatever, the end of that part of the war, perhaps a war that had started on the Parsha Zachar and was perhaps ending on Shavuot Pesach. And there was a feeling in the air at that time of perhaps this is it. There's so many different signs and things that people are saying, and there was a chush that perhaps it was Chodesh Nisan, it was everything was aligning that, you know, this could be the time, this could be when Mashiach actually comes. And I remember thinking to myself at that time, I really can't go through another Tisha B'Av. I've had enough.
That's
Enough of the suffering.
That's
Enough of the lack of clarity. Enough of the sheker in the world. It's time. And I told my family at the time, we yearn for Mashiach. We yearn for Mashiach to come, and it's so oftentimes spoken of in the context of Rachmanot Litzlan, this person and this tzara and this sickness and this ailment, and we need Mashiach to come to stop all the tzaras in the world. And while I believe that's true, that when Mashiach comes, hopefully, I mean, I don't even know, because when Mashiach comes, it could just be change in Shibamachus, just could be, as Rambam says, change in Shibamachus. I don't know if Mashiach is a magician that's going to come and cure everybody and cure everybody of all their ailments, physical and emotional. I do know when Mashiach comes, there's going to be emes in the world, there's going to be truth in the world, there's going to be clarity. And what we should be yearning for Mashiach is not necessarily to take away all of our tzaras, but when we yearn for Mashiach, it's to be back in the place we're supposed to be. When people ask about living in Eretz Yisrael, they asked me about some of the differences about Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So one of the things I mentioned to them is that there is a rhythm of life here. It's just different than being living in Chutz La'aretz. There's the rhythm of life in general is Yiddishkeit, is that we go through the Yom Tov, and we go through all the times of the year, even some things that are considered more quote unquote minor holidays, and things like Tu B'Shvat and things like Tu B'Av. We feel it. There's something in the air. We know that the entire rhythm of life is based around our Yahadus. And as great as that is, we're completely missing what life is supposed to be. There was a rhythm of life, the times of the Mikdash, that it's hard for us to connect to because we don't really connect to Karbanos. We don't know what Karbanos are, and we know the Mikdash was the Mokum Hashchina, and we can say that all we want, but it's very hard to understand that and appreciate that. But there were Kohanim who were serving every single week in the Mikdash, and they were the leaders of Klal Yisrael. They were the spiritual leaders of Klal Yisrael. They're the guides of Klal Yisrael. We looked up to them. There was a certain rhythm that they, you know, we know, and there was the week for Yodah, you know, the week for each of the Mishmaros to come to serve. And they had their own flavor, and they had their own passions, and they had their own way of doing things. And when they were not serving, they were back in the communities, and they were helping us and guiding us and teaching us. And that entire rhythm, the entire way of life, the people, the way that you lived every single day is gone. It's missing. We don't have that b'chlal. And it's something that that's something that I think is a little bit maybe perhaps easier to connect to. We'll figure out Karbonos one day, we'll forget everything else. And Bezrat Hashem will have MS, we'll have true, real truth in the crazy, crazy world that we live in. But to get back to a place where just life every single day was different. The concept of the Tomb of the Torah could be scary, and then how we're going to have eight sets of dishes and all that. But it's going to be a different way of living, and it's going to be something we're going to be comfortable with, and it's going to be something that we'll live in a world of pure emes. And in the world that we live in right now of sheker, that's something to yearn for. That's something that we're missing dramatically. I just want to say one story that I think hopefully helps drive us home a little bit of how the Kohanim could help us. The Rimat Beshemesh Kehila lost, to my knowledge, I mean, to people I know, two very great young giants this year, in the past year. Both of them were amazing, amazing people who used the tools that Hashem has given us, Klal Yisrael's main tool to fight, which is the Koach HaDibur, in ways that are incredible. They suffered tremendously. First was Ariel Joukowsky, the second was Jonathan Cohen. Jonathan Cohen is somebody I had known for many, many years. We were the same age. We were in Eretz Yisrael together, not in the same yeshivas, we were in YU together. I was never very close with him. But he was somebody who always was like on the periphery of my friends and someone we're acquaintances with, and life goes on, and we both ended up in Ramat Beit Shemesh again, never very, very close. And then he got sick. Everybody, you know, people became more aware of the things that he does. Since October 7th, my father-in-law has gone down every Wednesday, Kemat, to right outside of the Eri. There's a food truck they have out there, and there's a whole clever of people who prepare sandwiches for the dayanim. And this became an avod of his. He's been doing, it's something that he's almost yad by yavar on, whether it's hot, whether it's cold. He goes down there, he's not a young man, and he does his thing. He slices cucumbers and does everything he can to prepare food for the dayanim. And one or two of my friends also was amongst the clever people that used to go. And Jonathan Cohen started going even after he got sick. And he went to the extent, this year, before Shavuos, which is just a few weeks before, not exactly the most religious people, encouraging them and being chazik them before Shavuos to take on something from Shavuos, and they accepted it, the Leib Rabba, the Simcha. He had an impact on everyone he was around. My friends used to, he knows that my father-in-law went, he used to needle me. You should go every week. And you should go once in a while at least to make your father-in-law happy. And they were right. But they'd come to me and, you know, give it to me a little bit. And, you know, like I said, needling me it would be that not only for, you know, present purposes, but that I should spend some more time with my father-in-law. And I always have an excuse. I'm working on this, on that. And whether it's legitimate or not doesn't make a difference. Probably should have gone or should go. But I never end up going. One night I'm at a chasana about 6 months ago, and Jonathan Cohen is there. And I see him across the room, and he sees me, and he makes a beeline. He comes up to me. And I'm like, okay, this is it. He's going to start railing on me. You know, if he can go, like, I have nothing to say to him. The guy has suffered so much, and he's in such bad shape, but he still goes. So, you know, I'm bracing for his attack. And he looks up at me. He comes to me with his big characteristic smile on his face. He looks at me. He says that all he says is, "You should know how proud your father-in-law is of you, how much he loves you, and how much he appreciates everything you do and is proud of what you do for the community." And he went on and on for about a minute, just telling me how much my father-in-law appreciates me. He never said a word to me about any rebuke, any tochacha. He just had a smile on his face and this love that he radiated, that he gave to you. That's the job of a Kohen. It's no coincidence that Jonathan was Nifta the week of Parshas Fukas, which is the week of the Patira. We learned the read of the Patira of Aaron HaKohen. We know Aaron HaKohen was the Rodev Shalom, was the person who, that this is the exact type of Nida that he had, that he would bring people together, not by rebuking them, not by hurting them, but by giving, showing them love, by showing them feeling, emotion, positive emotions. And he said, he gave the rebuke. The Tochacha was there, but you didn't need to hear it because he's gave it over in a way that would want make you want to do it, encourage you to do it, and not to try to shrink away from your responsibilities. That's what the Kohanim are supposed to be doing for us. That's what we're missing in life. We have people, we have definitely people who are the Rav's had stories about Gedolim who could do this. These are the things that we should be looking up to and we should be doing every single day. So we go through the kina of the Kohanim. We should yearn for a time where we have emes in the world, we have people to look up to in all of our communities who are showing us the true derech of how to live our lives in every single aspect of our life. We should have a different rhythm to our life, a rhythm of the MS, a rhythm of the, with the Shechina with us at all times, knowing exactly what we're supposed to be doing and where we're supposed to be doing it, and be rid of all the craziness and all the other crazy things we have in this world, and get back to this pure place of the Chavetz Chaim HaSharon, the Mikdash in all its glory, with the people serving it and the people showing us exactly how we're supposed to live.
No, I'm wrong, if you know, say, oh, no, I'm not.